Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
A call for women today who are a little confused about love, a little boy crazy, a little full of violent craving, to finally satisfy themselves for 10 days to do the daring thing, to take guys completely off the table and to feast on the love of God.
Rather startling insight from best-selling author and popular speaker Dana Gresh. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, she continues her conversation with Dr. Jim Burns about a teen girl's guide to finding lasting love. Do you have a teenage daughter in your world right now who might benefit from this? You will both benefit from this conversation, especially the mother-daughter component in that relationship. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, I'm Roger Marsh, and this is Homeward with Dr. Jim Burns. APU's been graduating different maker since 1899. You can learn more about that at apu.edu. And it was on a college campus many years ago that Dana Gresh came to the realization that if she didn't get lost in her relationship with God, the right guy wouldn't come along. Well, he did, and well, let's pick up the story right here. Here with part two of this conversation is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Dana Gresh with us, A Teen Girl's Guide to Finding True Love. And man, I'm all ears because I've got three daughters, one getting married next week, by the way, but the other two still in relationship, and I'm learning a lot, and I know I'll have this conversation on a CD and handed to my daughters as well as my wife and I listening to it. And you can always do that. You can always go to homeward.com. I think we have 52,000 podcast listeners, and you can stream it, or you can go on through our website. You can go to iTunes and pick it up. It's easier to do it that way. Dana, you use a term, love feast, and you say that what a young woman might need to do is have a love feast. What does that look like?
Well, you know, the New Testament uses the word agape to describe the kind of love that God has for us. That's the fulfilling love. That's what can satisfy. But the New Testament believers, the early believers, also used the word agape to describe a love feast. And this is when they would gather together and they would feed their bodies. But more importantly, they were feeding their hearts. They were sharing stories of God's love and they were talking about how they'd experienced it. They were more in tune to feed their spirits than they were their bodies at these love feasts. And so the book really is a call for women today who are a little confused about love, a little boy crazy, a little full of violent craving, to finally satisfy themselves for 10 days to do the daring thing, to take guys completely off the table and to feast on the love of God. And I kind of guide them through that. It's kind of like me and them. It's very personal. It's very intimate. We have worship songs we listen to together. We have scripture verses and prayers written based on scripture that we pray together. And we go through all those areas of brokenness where we need God's love to fill us up. For example, the brokenness of beauty. Not too many women get through life unscathed by that one. But through God's word, we can be healed by that, and his love is enough.
In part of this love feast, and you talk about having a hunger for God, getting lost in his presence, getting lost in so many different aspects of his life. So what one of your suggestions is that, you know, girls need to get lost not in the love of a guy, but in the love of God. Explain that to us.
Well, I was trying to figure out how do we take the craving we have for men, for a man, and the legitimacy of that, because it is going to be a picture of Christ in the church, of the love God has for us, and yet make that secondary to the love of God. And I'm praying about this and asking God for wisdom about how to talk to teenage girls about it. And my daughter's girlfriend comes to the house with this cheap $20 t-shirt on, and it reads, "A girl needs to be so lost in God's love that a guy has to seek him to find her."
Oh, I love that phrase. I underlined it, circled it in your
book.
Is that
good?
Explain that.
Yeah. It's not my phrase. I did not create that phrase. It gets attributed to me because I love it so much and I share it so much, and then I get in trouble because somebody says, "You didn't say that." But it just, when I heard it, my spirit woke up. And when I share it in front of live audiences, they lean in because they understand this isn't about legalism. This isn't about saying guys are bad or the love of guys is bad. It's about saying, man, when I'm really satisfied by God's love, then the love of a guy will be a gift from him. It will be a bonus. And it will be not be something that I desperately crave and need. But that guy is going to have to get lost in God first to find me if I'm lost. It's just, it's a sermon in itself, right? We could just say that sentence today and be done on the air, don't you think?
Oh, really?
Doing
seriously. I mean, it's
quiet
just...
quiet to, yeah.
Right. And yet, you know, I want to push it. I want to unpack it. What does a lost girl look like?
What does a lost girl look like? Well, I have to start with just the basic idea of a lost girl, which I talk about at the very beginning of the book. Mm-hmm. And that is that when you look up the word lost, it means to be absent from something. So, you know, when we're lost in the woods, we're absent from the place we think we're supposed to be. We're absent from our campsite, for example. What does it mean to be lost in God? Well, what are you absent from if you're lost in God? And the solution or the idea that I came to was this, that we're absent of ourselves. We're absent of our self-driven desires, our self-driven dreams, our own plans, our own manipulations, our own power. And we get so satisfied in who he is that who we are is less, and that's okay. That's the first thing about a girl that's lost in God, is she's absent of herself. And that's no small thing, because we live in a pretty selfish society, and if I might say so, at least in the marriage at the Gresh household, the women have the ability to be more selfish than the men. Mm-hmm. I think that's just that that's a harder thing for women, to give themselves up. And it's harder for me to pick the socks up in the stinking middle of the living room for my husband than it is if I crash the car and he's like, baby, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about this. I got it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to get it. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you do that? It's just harder, I think, for women to be selfless, especially in our society that says that women are so phenomenal, and we are phenomenal. But it does not have to be at the expense of how phenomenal men are.
Yeah, no, that is a great way of looking at it. What does a man who is lost look like?
Well, you know, at the back of the book, I outline five characteristics of both a man that's lost in God and a woman that's lost in God. Because once you come out of this love feast, you say, okay, I kind of would like to meet a guy and love a guy and marry a guy. Well, okay, what kind of guy does that look like? And the book of Ephesians outlines five things. They're kind of like first things, must-haves in a husband. And one of them, for just an example, is that he is a guy who washes his wife in the water of the Word. Now, this is like pure Middle Eastern New Testament language. We don't get it. But what was happening back in the day is that a Jewish bride had to go to the temple and be cleansed for her wedding day. She would bathe in this beautiful pool, and she had to go back once a month to be cleansed again in this beautiful pool. And Paul is saying, hey, all the old stuff has passed away. When Jesus died, he came with a new way to do things, and that's legalism. So now I'm going to say that now she's going to be cleansed, and the outside doesn't matter so much as inside. And her heart is going to be cleaned by the Word of God, and the husband is going to be a part of that. Okay, so what does that mean to an 18-year-old girl who's interested in dating a guy? Well, that guy better know the Word of God. He better not just text you, you look fine, babe, you look hot. Mm-hmm. He better text you, today I was reading in the Word, and I found this awesome verse I wanted to share with you. That's the kind of guy that's lost in God, and he's worth pursuing.
When you say that, and I want to get into more of this after the next break, but when you say that, there are girls who would love to find that guy, and they don't see him. And so now they're, you know, getting a little bit older, and they're saying, is he really out there? What do you say to that person who really has that desire? I mean, they hear you speak, they hear that, and yet it's not happening for them.
Well, I think, sadly, one of the things that we've done in the Christian world, with the abstinence movement and all our Christianese, is we've sold teenagers this line, especially the girls, that if you wear your purity ring and you have carried your chastity belt faithfully, God will provide a guy for you.
Right.
And the point of getting lost in God's love is not to find a guy. The point of getting lost in God's love is to be lost in his love. And that's a hard truth, isn't it?
That's
a hard truth when you're 30 years old and you're thinking, I haven't found him
right
yet. But I wish we could switch shoes. I wish 30-year-old singles could switch shoes with 30-year-old marrieds. Because a lot of times those 30-year-old marrieds are like, oh my goodness, he snores when he sleeps. Really, God? This is, and of course, much, much bigger problems than that. And so the grass is always greener. But the point is that that married woman sometimes isn't lost in God. And all the little things that her husband does that drives her crazy is because she's not satisfied in the love of God. Sure. I'm not saying that it always goes away if she is satisfied in the love of God, but I'm saying it gets a lot better. This is from a woman who's walked it out.
Sure. And what's interesting, what you're saying is that, you know, you can be lost in God and be married and have a much better relationship, because there's a whole lot of people who are in a marriage relationship and they're still
they're
pretty unhappy.
Lost.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. We're going to take a break. And right before the break, I want to tell one story and then we'll give it over to Roger. You know, we have a very close friend of ours named Pam. I have known her since she was in her 20s, and Kathy and I love and adore her, and she's kind of aunt. She's actually a godmother to one of our daughters, and our particular church doesn't have a lot of godparents and all that, but we chose her because she's such a godly woman. And Pam wanted to be married. In fact, she had a home ec degree in college and wanted to be a homemaker and all these other great things, but she didn't find the right guy. But she held out, and just last night she was at our house, and she's married to a wonderful guy who's an attorney and who loves God, and there's a story behind his story. But he's so excited to be in the presence of Pam and in the presence of God. And I just look at that, and you know, if I said to Pam today, Pam, are you glad you waited? She'd say, hey, it was the hardest thing I ever did, but I am so glad, because in God's timing, she found that right guy, and they don't have the kind of baggage that a lot of other people do. So, Roger, we've got one more segment, but here you go.
Okay. Well, today on the Homebird Broadcast, we're talking about A Teen Girl's Guide to Finding Lasting Love. Dana Gresh is our guest. She's the author of the book called Get Lost, and the premise of the book is not kicking your kids out of the house, but rather saying, stressing to parents that the best thing you can do to help your daughter find lasting love is to encourage her to get so lost in a relationship with God that the right guy has to find God to find her. And then of course, you'll have a godly man who wants to be in a relationship and ultimately marriage with her. That's the premise anyway. It may sound too good to be true, but the only way you can find out is if you check out the book, or if you take a look at, listen to this program again. We've got the audio archived at homeward.com. If you'd like, we'll be happy to burn you a CD of both part one and part two of Jim's conversation with Dana Gresh on this topic. Ben will be happy to take care of that. All you have to do is send us a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and you can do that transaction online today at homeward.com.
I started dating when I was 14.
I went on my first date when I was 12.
My parents wouldn't let me start dating till I was 17. I thought they were being way too strict back then, but I guess I'm glad I waited.
Lots of kids seem to be in a big hurry to start dating once they hit the preteen and teen years. Well, trouble is, in doing so, they find themselves facing decisions that far exceed their level of emotional maturity. That's why I say the best advice for parents is to delay your kids from dating as long as possible. Well, I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Research backs us up on this one. Kids who delay dating to age 16 or even 18 are at least 5 times less likely to have sex before graduating from high school than kids who start dating in junior high. Now, if your kids want to hang out by participating in group activities, by all means, let them. Just remember that when it comes to exclusive dating, there really is safety in numbers. I'm Jim Burns with Something to Think About from Homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Dana Gresh today. We're talking about A Teen Girl's Guide to Finding True Love. Actually, we're talking about finding true love in many ways. She's written an excellent book, which is about this subject, Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. Roger's told you about it, and it's just a privilege to have Dana with us. She's a popular speaker. She's an author of several great books, co-founder of Grace Prep High School, which is a new model for Christian education. She's married to Bob. Bob and Dana live in State College, Pennsylvania. Dana, I'm thinking about somebody who might have been listening to this broadcast. Maybe they've just tuned in, but we've been talking about the fact that, you know, girls need to get lost with God. They need to not put a guy above God, and that's exactly what happens in our culture today. There's a mom who's been listening to this who's brokenhearted. Her daughter is, you know, 15, 16, 17, 22, whatever the age. And her daughter is not walking with God, and she wants her daughter to do that more than anything else, but it's not happening. And so, you know, her daughter is lost with inappropriate relationships and inappropriate lifestyle. But she was raised in the church, but now she's kind of walked away. So many of us who have a youth ministry background, we grieve the fact that loads and loads of kids today are walking away from the church at a certain age. Yeah. What do you say to the mom who says, I can't probably approach my daughter with so much God talk, even though, because her heart's a little bit hardened, but I want her to know this message so much. I want to go get the book, you know, Get Lost. I want to hand it to her, but yet I want to have a deeper relationship with her. And I didn't do it right, she'll say. Here you go. What do you say to that woman?
First of all, you know, prayer is obviously the Christian answer, right? That's the Sunday school answer I'm supposed to give, but it's true.
It is.
I mean,
I've
prayed my own kids through some things where I'm like, Lord, this one is not going to end well. There's no way this can go well. And you just get on your knees and you see him unfold things that you can't possibly imagine him unfolding. I had one of my kids, my kids are young adults, so one of them was in a relationship that was just not going to ever go well. And I saw it, my husband saw it, I watched my husband cry in the bedroom as he pleaded with God for this to just go differently. But the other thing that Bob and I had to do as parents was to speak hard truth, potentially at the expense of our relationship with our kids. Because we have a really great family. We are great friends. But at the end of the day, we're mom and dad.
Right.
And so when we put lines in the sand and said, you don't cross this line, and if you do cross this line, these are the consequences you'll face. You know, we went through months of thinking, Lord, how far away is this child going to wander from our heart before they come back? So, you know, I think you have to have a soft hand when you say hard truths, and you have to have a loving hand and a grace-filled hand, but you cannot compromise on speaking truth to your own child for your own comfort.
No, I appreciate that, and I think a lot of times as parents, we want to be their best friend, so we won't speak truth, and I loved how you described that, and sometimes we just have to be the parent, and they're not going to say, hey, thanks so much for this great advice. You're awesome, and you know whatever. They're not going to take it, but they're going to hear it. And especially when we stay true to them and stay with them, it's not like we walk away from them in terms of relationship, because they will fall eventually, probably. And when they fall, you want them to, you know, come back to you and have those good conversations. A lot of times, we're seeing, I think a lot of parents see this, where their kids are in love. I have quotes around that word love, and it's puppy love, and it's real to puppies, but it's not really anything much more than infatuation. How do you help someone understand the difference between love and infatuation?
Well, in the book, in Get Lost, I actually have a kind of a list of agape love.
Yeah, it's really good.
Versus ahava love, which is, you know, you can be 10 years old and you can have puppy love, or you can be 30 years old and you still have puppy love. If it's based on merely attraction, it's based on what I can get out of you. And if you compare the two, the big difference is just self. Is this something I'm doing to please myself? This relationship pleases me because he's hot or she's beautiful or he can give me something. But agape love is much more intelligent. It's much more thought-filled. And it's all about saying, you know what? I'm going to choose to give myself to you so that I can benefit you. And, you know, there may be some selfish ambition in that, because you don't certainly want to say, hey, that person's a real loser, so let me just throw my life down the drain. I'm going to lose myself with them. That's not the point of it.
Right.
But the point is saying that person is good, and I'm going to serve that person. That's so, so contradiction to the kind of love and self-empowerment that we hear in our culture. True love gives itself.
Great input. Dan, I want to give you a case study, and it actually happened to me this weekend. I was speaking on marriage, like I think I had mentioned, but actually they had so many kid questions. And here's a couple. They come to me. They have a 20-something daughter. They're heartbroken because their daughter is not dating a Christian, and they had really hoped that, you know, she would marry a Christian. She was raised in the church. And they were having this conversation with their daughter, and they said, now, would you have a Christian marriage if you guys got married? And she said, well, I'm not going to marry him because I wouldn't want to go to church by myself and just bring the kids. And they're saying, well, why are you in this relationship? What advice or input would you give to that couple?
Well, you know, that couple has probably one of the most complicated problems I've ever heard, because they have a daughter that knows to do right, but is not doing it.
Right.
Doesn't that sound to you like something from the Apostle Paul's writing, where he says, I want to do the thing that I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. She's in that place where she's been trained to do what's right, but she's also been trained by the culture and by the world to do what's easy and what's normal. And that's a situation, a very good example of where parents have to have some really hard, they have to get on their knees and pray, and they have to get the carpet fibers in their nose from having their face to the ground for their daughter, and then they have to say hard truth.
Yeah.
They've got to say it. Baby, you know what to do. You know to do what's right, but you're not doing it, and we can't support that. Here's what the consequences might look like.
And what would the consequences be? This woman was not, she was out on her own. She'd already graduated from college. She wasn't living.
Well, you know, I've seen parents do things like, depending on the finances, you know, we can't help you with your insurance payments as we have been, or we can't help you with, you know, there are always some sort of blessings and helps that parents are giving.
Sure.
And sometimes the kids are old enough that you're like, you know, you're just breaking my heart. The consequences, you're just breaking my heart.
Yeah, right. That's great input. Actually, that's the kind of input that I would have I did give as well. Last question, and I know we don't have much time, but I had mentioned at the beginning of our first conversation that you had gone to a door of a boyfriend's apartment, and you heard yourself breaking up with this guy, and he was the guy you'd hoped to marry. And it really wasn't what you wanted to do, but you felt like you needed to do it. And it wasn't because it was a bad relationship. You'd kind of put him in front of God. So I guess that is a bad relationship, but it wasn't that it was doing these horrible, terrible things.
Right.
That story has another ending. You broke up with him at that point, but what happened later on?
Well, I did find that Jesus was enough, that God is sovereign. That was my hope. I was like, God, you say that your love is enough, but is it really? When I really feasted on his love and got lost in his love, it was enough, and I was satisfied. And there became a time while we were still broken up that his heart was told the same thing. And I went to a Sunday school class, and he taught this lesson on the parable of the pearl of great price. And he talked about how the pearl was so costly. It cost everything. And yet we had to pursue God with absolutely everything. And he came to me after that Sunday school class, and he said, you know, there's only one relationship on the planet that should be treated with the same honor as a relationship with Jesus, and certainly doesn't even still come close. But marriage is costly. It costs us everything. And he said, I think you're worth the price, Dana. And that was kind of his proposal to my heart, that we would be back together. It was also an assurance to my heart that this guy knows how to be lost in God's love. This guy knows that God comes first. I want to be married to a guy that loves Jesus a whole lot more than he loves me, because that's a love that's safe.
Wow. Great input. Dana, thank you so much for spending time with us here at Homeward. Our listeners are absolutely honored to have been listening in on this conversation. Great, great input.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the book is called Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. Roger, you can tell us about it. And what a privilege to have Dan on with us today.
She offers some great insight. It's very, very practical. And I know a lot of parents here during these summer months are thinking about this, because their daughters might just be at the point where you're thinking, okay, now you're old enough to start dating, but what kind of guy are you going to bring home? You know, what kind of guys is your daughter attracted to? And this book is one we highly recommend. Dana Gresh, the book is called Get Lost. You can get it anywhere. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has written a book on this topic, not so much dating in particular, but just the teen years in general. The book is called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. And you can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward. We are a completely listener-supported 501c3 tax-deductible organization. So when you give a gift, it's going right to ministry here. And I can assure you, having been a part of this ministry for 15 years, that the money is very well invested and not wasted at all. Go to homeward.com for more information, or you can call us toll free at 800-397-9725. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families. together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.